want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of 3 John, please. The book of 3 John. I told you I wasn't going to start another series, and this is something I've already had prepared here. I was studying this week in Matthew, and where I'm at is so much of a salvation emphasis in that chapter, and I felt the Lord directing me to this particular passage. So we're going to preach the book of 3 John tonight. And this is one of those one-chapter books, and this is something that I just felt the Lord leading me in this direction and saving what I'm studying on for Sunday morning and Sunday night. I want to follow the Lord in everything I do. I want to follow Jesus Christ, and this is what I feel His leading is. So the book of 3 John, we'll read it together. In other words, I had no intention of going to another book. I'll be honest about that. But when the Lord directs, then I'm going to do it, and so on. So here we go. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, if you mark your Bible, there's a phrase in verse number 7 I want to lift out of Scripture. And I want to preach on this book, this message, this chapter. And this is the title of it. It's the phrase in verse 7, for His name's sake. For His name's sake. Now let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you tonight. Help us to know that we're serving you and serving you from our heart. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Help us as we've gathered here tonight to hear your word. I pray that you'll speak to my heart, and I pray that you speak through me to this dear church. Would you help us now, make us more like you tonight, and show us what you're teaching us in this book. Thy will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this epistle of 3 John deals with spiritual health and prosperity. But I want you to notice this phrase, for his name's sake. Now, I want to say this to you, what a name, the name of Jesus Christ. May I say to you that it's a precious name. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. It is a perfect name. You'll find no flaws in that name. It is a praiseworthy name. His name is the only name that deserves to be praised by man. It is a permanent name. There have been people trying to stamp it out all down through the centuries, but the name of Jesus is going to last for eternity. It's a powerful name. We see that in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, where the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. My friends, the devil and his angels and everybody is going to pay allegiance to the Lamb some glorious day. They will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that the name of Jesus Christ is precious, perfect, praiseworthy, permanent, and it's powerful. And in that name, we have safety. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In his name, we have salvation. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a name, the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you this question tonight, what has that name done for you? What has he done for you? Matter of fact, I want to take just a moment. I want one person from every section here to stand to your feet and tell me what the name of Jesus Christ means to you. Somebody in this section right here. Just stand up quickly now. Quickly. Quickly, please. Somebody in the middle. Somebody in the middle. Somebody to the right. Thank you. Go ahead. That's exactly right. Amen. Only by the name of Jesus Christ. Sure. Amen. Amen. Somebody in the middle. Yes. Got it. You got it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. Somebody to the left over here. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. How good's the name of Jesus Christ been to you? How good has he been to you, friends? Do you thank him for what he's done for you? That's not what the book of 3 John's about. You know what it's about? What you and I can do for that name. He's been so good to us. The whole Word of God tells us what he's done for us. The whole Bible is filled full of things that we have because of the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the new birth. I'm talking about every good and perfect gift. I'm talking about redemption and justification. He's been good to us. And yet this book is turned around and he's giving us some things to do for his name. You interested? You ought to be. I don't know about you, but he's been so good to me, I want to stand at attention and say, you mean there's something I can do for you? This is what the book of 3 John's about. And it's all centered around the truth, every bit of it. There's three things in this book that we see that we are to do for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Number one, we are to walk in truth. You walk in truth for his name's sake. We see this in verses 1-4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou, here it is, walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Today, people are leaving the truth of God's word. May I tell you that I am so thrilled in my heart tonight that I have the truth in my life. May I tell you that the Word of God identifies what the truth is? God the Father is identified as truth. In Deuteronomy 32:4 says he's the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Psalm 31:5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. God the Father's truth. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit is identified as the truth. In John 16, 13, says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. 1 John 5, 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There you have the Holy Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are all truth. The Bible identifies itself as the truth. In Psalm 119, 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We see God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God's word. We see the gospel identified as the truth. In Galatians 2:14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We see that the Lord's pathways are truth. In Psalm 25, 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. My friends, there is a world out there who has given their life to a lie. I'm telling you that John 8, 44 calls the devil the father of lies. And you tonight and I tonight are either giving our life to the truth or we are giving it to a lie. That's why there's so much emptiness going on in our public school systems, in our Christian school systems, in our churches today, in our marriages today, in our homes, and all over the world. There's emptiness because people are giving their life to a lie, not the truth. And I'm telling you, the truth is the truth. There's not many, there's one. It's the truth of God. God is true. Jesus Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Word of God is truth. The gospel is truth. And every path God leads you on is the truth and the way and the life. Aren't you glad you've got the truth tonight? And he's saying one thing you can do for the name of Christ is you can walk in it. You can stay put in it. Don't flee from it. Don't run from it. We need people tonight who determine for God's sake, for Christ's sake, for his name, to stay true to God by walking in truth. And may I tell you tonight that when you walk in truth, it'll do some things. We see three things it does when you walk in truth. By the way, why should you walk in truth? For his name's sake. That's why. May I say this to you? That's why you ought to do anything in a Christian life. That's the reason you ought to be doing everything you're doing. You want me to tell you why? Not for this church. Not for your family. Not for your testimony. Not for your marriage. Not for your children. But for Christ. When you do it for him, you'll never quit. When he's truly the goal, you'll never stop on him. Because he'll never let you down. Amen. And when you walk in truth, three things happen. First of all, under this, it captures the attention of others. Look at verse number 3. For I rejoiced greatly, notice this, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. How did John hear about his children walking in truth? He said right here, the brethren came and told me about it. You know what that tells me? It captured their attention. You know what that tells me? there was somebody watching them. They were watching them. People are watching every move we make. And we need to give them something to see that pleases God. We see here he says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified. They told me that you're walking in truth. It captures the attention of others. By the way, the world is crying out for people to walk in truth. They're crying out for it. Secondly, under this, it not only captured the attention of others, but number two, it caused great rejoicing to a faithful man of God. Would you agree with me that John was a faithful man of God? Yes or no, folks? You better, because God used him to write a book of the Bible. I don't think he's going to use an unfaithful man to help write his word, my friends. John is a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And notice what he said in verse number 3. He said, I rejoice greatly. Now, I want to say this to you. Who knows what this did for John? The Bible's silent. We don't know. John could have been discouraged. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was on a mountain. Maybe he's in the valley. We just don't know. But I know this. When he heard that his children were walking in truth, he said, I just had to rejoice about it. I just had to get happy in Jesus. It encouraged him. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about a faithful man of God or a faithful woman of God. It could be a parent. It could be your pastor. I hope that that's what I am. It could be just a Sunday school teacher. It could be a deacon. It could be just a co-worker. I don't know, but I want you to think about a faithful man of God. May I say something to you about them? They have ups and downs just like anybody else does. There are men of God who do not have the luxury. Now, I'm not giving a personal testimony here, but I am letting you see into a heart of a man who gets up in the pulpit every week of his life, if you will. A man of God does not have the luxury to stand up here and say, boy, it's been terrible this week. I'm just down in the dumps. Because if he does that, he's going to discourage every one of his congregation. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. There are ups and downs in the ministry. There are mountaintops and there are valleys. I don't care if you're a preacher or whatever you are. Life is like that, and you know I'm telling you the truth. It is not this, it is like that. Up and down, up and down. I'm sure you've never been discouraged, Brother Graham. Never. What am I saying? I'm saying John was a man of God who was encouraged when he heard his children were sticking by the stuff. We're looking at, for his name's sake, we're to walk in truth. That means stay in it, continuously walk in it. Don't get away from it. Don't turn your back on it. Stay in it. And when you do that for his name's sake, you capture the attention of others. You cause rejoicing in faithful men of God. There are faithful men and women of God who've paid the price. And I'm telling you that some of them may be looking at you. And when they see you walking in truth and holding the flag and raising it up with them, those faithful men and women's hearts of God can be rejoicing. It caused rejoicing in a faithful man of God. And number three, it created the greatest joy for the one who influenced these people. In other words, causing rejoicing in a faithful man of God, that's just anybody, if you will, who's living for God, and when they see somebody who's walking in truth and trying to serve Jesus, it encourages them. But John was a step further in this. He was not just a man of God. He was a man of God who led these people to Christ, friends. He influenced these people. And what I'm saying is when you walk in truth, it captures the attention of those looking at you. It causes rejoicing in faithful men of God. But then it creates the greatest joy for those who personally influenced you. By the way, if you're saved tonight, somebody influenced you in that direction. Somebody's influenced your life. Now, they may not be alive anymore. I'm talking about physically. They may be looking down from the portals of glory. I don't know. But I know this, I know there's been people in my life who's influenced me for God. Some of them are still living, some of them are not. I've got some in this auditorium with me tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say this. John led these people to Christ. He influenced them. He poured his life out into them. And when he heard that they continued in the right direction, he's saying in verse number 4, look at it, I have no greater joy. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, the ones I've influenced, walk in truth. He's saying the greatest joy I have is to see you continuing and going on. May I tell you, are you bringing great joy or are you bringing great grief to those who influenced you for God? You know which one of the two? It really is. Let me just give you a personal testimony here a little bit. I've got three people that I'm thinking of right now that are still alive who have influenced me toward God, toward Him. One of them, and I say they're one, they're really two, it's my parents. You say, how'd they influence you? They had me in church. When I was a kid, they had me here. I don't understand all that when I was a kid. But I know this. I look back on it now and I thank God for it. They influenced me toward the Lord. I think of Dr. Clarence Sexton. When I went to Crown College, that man is still influencing my life in ways that I didn't even know he did. Honestly, he's influenced my life in ways I didn't even know he did when I was there. I think certain ways, and I look back and I'm like, he taught me that. And I didn't even know I got it. Somebody else is in this room. He's my Moses, and he knows who he is. Preacher Lashley. I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up, I didn't understand everything he preached and why he preached against this and preached against that and preached against that and uplifted that. I didn't understand all that stuff then. But I look back at it and I praise God he did. He influenced me toward God. I was saved under his ministry. I'm telling you, there's a couple of men, there's so many people that's influenced me. You know, sometimes you hesitate to start calling names because you're afraid you're going to forget somebody. I don't want to forget anybody. There's a dear person in this church, he knows who he is, who helped pay my way through college. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. He's here tonight. I'm telling you, everybody has somebody who's influenced them. There's two men that I'm thinking of right now in heaven. Actually, three men I'm thinking of in heaven. One of them, I didn't know him very long. He's my great-granddaddy, Ma's dad, Brian Wheelock. His wife's name was Eula. We called her Mama Locke. He taught Sunday school here down at the funeral home. I don't even remember how old I was when he died, but I was young. But I've got his Bible. And I look back at stuff like that. That man influenced my life. I think of Mr. Kaiser. I talk about him so much it's ridiculous. I'll tell you one thing, if he's still alive, he'd be here every year that I could get him, he'd be here. Every year. You all get sick of him. Because he would be here every year that I was the pastor, that man would come to be here. That man influenced me more than, I mean, only God can tell him how much he influenced me. I think of Mr. Curley. Picked me up in sixth grade. He was my Sunday school teacher. I'm just talking to you tonight here a little bit. I'm saying this. That man influenced me for God when I didn't know what he was doing. I had no idea what he was doing. Only thing I knew, he's going to take me to get a Big Mac. He's going to take me to get a Whopper. He's going to take me, you know. And what he was doing, he was pouring his life out into me when I was scared to death that as a sixth grader, he's going to say, you got the next one, you knock on, I'm going to let you talk. Scared to death he's going to do that to me. But I went anyway because he stayed on me. He stayed on me. And he took me out with him. And I look back on my life and I say, right there is where it began. giving out gospel tracts. You know who started me doing that, Mr. Curley? He challenged me to start taking tracts to school. I was too afraid to give them out, so I just leave them on water fountains and, you know, in the bathrooms and everything else. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. John influenced these people. And he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I want you to think about those who influenced you. Think about them right now. Get them in your mind's eye. If you're saved tonight, you have them. Think about them right now. A mom, a dad, a preacher, a pastor, whether it's here or there or wherever, a soul winner, somebody influenced you for Jesus. Think about them, whether they're alive or whether they're gone. And I ask you this question. When they watch what you're doing, are they rejoicing? Or are they grieving? Walk in truth for His name's sake. Number two, work in truth for His name's sake. Look at verses 5 and following. Whatever thou doest faithful, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, we have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Look at verse number 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be, notice this now, fellow helpers to the truth. Now, this phrase, fellow helpers to the truth, now listen to me. This means that you can help the truth. Now, what's that mean? Now, the truth is the truth. And John's saying you need to keep on going to be fellow helpers to the truth. You know what he's saying? He's saying don't just walk in it. Work in it. You work to make sure the truth stays the truth in your surroundings. And you make sure that nobody perverts it, and you make sure nobody adds to it, you make sure nobody takes away from it. You stand firm on the truth. This is what he's saying. And I'm telling you, as a result of people who have stood for the truth down through the ages, there have been faithful men and women of God who have faithfully walked in the truth, and they've worked in the truth to keep the truth in their surroundings. And thank God we were in the circumference of some of those men and women's surroundings, so when they stayed true to it, they passed it down to us unadulterated and as the pure truth for what it is. Aren't you glad you're not in some religion tonight and you're so messed up that you think you have to work your way to heaven, friends? Aren't you glad you don't think you have to be baptized to go to heaven? Aren't you glad that you know in your heart that you are in a place that's teaching the truth? You want me to tell you why you are? Because somebody not only walked in it, they worked in it for you. They fought to keep the truth, the truth. And he's saying, for His name's sake, don't just walk in it. Help it. Work in it. Fellow laborers in the truth. Fellow helpers. Now, by the way, is work hard? Sure it is. That's why a lot of people don't do it, right? And I'm telling you, it is hard to keep the truth in your own personal surroundings, friend. Now, you listen to the truth, no matter what you do with it. But you influence somebody. And we ought to make sure we're giving them the truth. And we work with them. By the way, who are you supposed to work in the truth with? Well, verse number 5 answers that. It says, to the brethren and to strangers. In other words, those who are saved, those who are not. No matter who you are around, your message should remain the same. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the truth. The Word of God is true. That should never change. It doesn't matter who you're around. Then there's a third thing here. Not only walk in truth for His name's sake, work in truth for His name's sake, but number 3, watch in truth for His name's sake. We see this in verses 9 to 14. Now, I'm going to refer to those verses as we go here. But we who are on the inside of the truth need to be on the lookout in order to pass the truth down to the next generation. Ezekiel 33:7 says, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. In other words, we should be like a soldier on guard and armed to defend the truth. Now, there are two ways that John watched in truth in this book. First of all, under this, he did it by exposing wrong behavior. Now, notice verses 9 and 10, and notice what he did. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, he named a name. Oh, you're not supposed to name names. You're supposed to be friendly. You're supposed to be a loving church. Don't ever name names. It's a good thing John didn't hear that. Because John said, listen, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Let me tell you how you watch in truth. You expose wrong behavior, friends. I'm telling you that John said, here, I was going to write to you, but Diotrephes, he's a snake in the grass. He is somebody who wants the preeminence. He is trying to suppress the truth. His name is Diotrephes. Now let me tell you something. John named names. And when it's appropriate, so are we, friends. Now I'm not saying you go around naming everybody, but if you know somebody's pumping false doctrine and you know somebody's giving lies out, you are to call their name and you are to expose them, because there are people who will blindly follow them if you don't have the guts to stand up for the truth, friends. Now, I'm telling you here. By the way, I've given you this illustration before. But let's just say that I knew of a restaurant out here that was serving poisonous food. And everybody that went in it never comes out. I mean, it doesn't matter what you order. Just water or whatever, everything's polluted. And I know which restaurant it is. I know where it's located, know what it is. And I get up and I say, now we're supposed to be loving around here. Supposed to be kind and friendly. Don't want to be judgmental. Like some people misuse what we've been preaching in Matthew. You can go back and get that if you want it. Judge not. We've already preached on that, so don't get me off on that. Let me tell you something. What if I got up and said, now I love you folks. I want you to know that. We want God's best for you. There's a restaurant in the Tri-Cities. If you go in, you'll never come out. Hope you don't find it. God bless you. Hope you enjoy your meal this Sunday. No. What do you want me to do if I know that they're serving poisonous food? Let me tell you what you want me to do. You want me to name it for you. And you want me to tell you where it's at so you don't come under their influence. You listening to me? There's something a whole lot more dangerous than poisonous food, friends. It's called false doctrine. And if somebody's teaching you something or saying something that's against the truth, I'm going to tell you something. You've got a pastor that when he knows about it, he's going to name it, friends. Because I love you too much not to. When somebody loves you, they'll tell you that'll kill you. That'll hurt you. Now, you got to be careful because some people abuse that. There are some people who go to the nth degree and say, can you believe that he lets his Sunday school teachers do that? That's not what this is about. It's talking about exposing wrong behavior, exposing false doctrine, exposing something that's not the truth, friends. How do you watch in truth? You expose wrong behavior. If God says it's wrong, say it is. If God says it's right, tell people it is. This is it. Watch in truth. You watch in it by exposing wrong behavior. But then number two, you watch in truth by encouraging right behavior. Now, there's a lot of people who are good at the first point. Boy, they love to expose wrong behavior. But they're terrible at encouraging right behavior. And vice versa. There are those who are great at encouraging right behavior, but they never expose anything wrong. It takes both. It's balance. Look at verse 11. Beloved, now he's just got done naming Diotrephes. He just blasted him. Then in verse 11 it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now notice, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Do you see what he's doing? He exposed Diotrephes, but he's lifting up Demetrius. And what he's doing here, he's watching in truth. He's saying, this is wrong. This is right. Now, I'm telling you, don't just expose the bad, encourage the good. Now, in this book, the truth, now listen to me now, the truth is under attack today. The truth has always been under attack. Nobody likes to be told you're wrong. Nobody. That's why you have radicals all over the world. Radical Muslims, radical Hindus, radical this and that. And so why? Because they believe they're right. They don't like to be told they're wrong. And I'm telling you, people don't like to be told they're wrong. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm glad that somebody got the truth to me. Aren't you glad you're in the truth tonight? I mean, just rejoice tonight that you're not sitting here and you're wasting your time. I mean, this is true, friends. I mean, this is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is truth. And the truth is under attack today. And we need people who will do what these dear people were doing. John and others, they were walking in truth. They were working in truth. They were watching in truth for His name's sake. And one reason so many turn from the truth today is because they're not in it for His name. They're in it for popularity. They're in it for this or in it for that. Let me ask you a question. What are you in the battle for? Are you in it for Him? And I'm telling you, I've said this before and so on. Scott, won't you help me just a minute if you don't mind? Ben, come up here and help me just a minute if you don't mind. I'm going to try to give you an illustration so you can kind of remember what I'm talking about. Do you remember many, many years ago? Just wait on me there just a minute. I'll call you over here in just a minute. Many, many, many years ago, we had a preacher here by the name of Robert Holm, H-O-L-M. If you remember him, it's been many years ago. He was the great, great, great grandson of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Now, I've not heard anything about him. I don't know if he's kicked the traces or where he's at, but when he was here, he was living for God and all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, one reason that man has the truth is because of his great, great, great granddaddy. There's no doubt about that, friends. And I'm telling you this. Where those are who bear your name in 50 years, where they are in 50 years, a lot of it depends on what you do with the truth today. Now, can I say this to you? Come over here just a minute. I want the folks who are listening live, whether there's one or 100, I don't know. I want them to see you. Might have to up the camera to get them, keep it low to get me. Anyway, might as well rip yourself, right? Here's the message of 3 John. You ready? Here's John, all right? Here's the ones he's talking to. Here's the ones that's not even in the picture yet. You with me? John was a faithful man. Stood for the truth. He wasn't perfect, but he got the truth. Jesus got a hold of him. And he knew that what he had was it. And he faithfully stood with it and walked in it and worked in it, and watched in it by exposing that's wrong and that's right. Stay true to God. And when he was doing that, he was handing what was handed to him down to them. And he was so encouraged that as he had the truth and he had passed it down, he's still living and he's saying, I have no greater joy than to see that what I've given my life to, and it's the truth, that you're continuing to do it and continuing to stay true to it. Don't dip the flag. Stay with God. Be tied to the truth. And as he's saying that, he's still exposing. He's still encouraging right behavior. He's still being faithful to God himself. Don't you see that? But there comes a day when John passes away. And these people have received the truth. And some of them, a remnant, they have watched in it. They have walked in it. They have worked in it. And they have passed it down to the next generation. And a remnant may not be many, may not be a majority, but there's always been a remnant of God's people. And they've stood on it and they know they've got the truth, and they've walked in it and worked in it and watched in it, and eventually they have given it to whoever influenced you. And whoever influenced you, glory. They stood on it. They taught it. They worked in it. They walked in it. They watched in it. And they handed it. And now it's in our hands. And can't you hear their voices way back here saying, let me tell you why I kept walking and why I kept working and why I kept watching is I did it for the name of Jesus. And now you have it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You want to tell you what my heart is? I want to walk in it. I want to work in it. I want to watch in it. I want to expose everything against it and encourage everything for it. And because I know in my heart, I know, there's no doubt in my mind, I know that what we preach from this book is the truth. And there's a little boy sitting up there in the balcony. There's a little girl sitting up there. And if God tarries and gives them life, their children, that if God tarries, I may never see. And they're depending on what I do with what's given to me. I think about Brother Gary and his dear wife, Sarah and Joe, getting ready to have their first baby. Glory day. Congratulations. And I'm telling you, you're getting ready to step out into an adventure that you'll never forget. But one of the greatest things you've got, and I'm not just saying this because he's here, you've got a daddy, and you've got a father-in-law, and you've got a mother and a mother-in-law, and you've got grandparents who are watching in truth. And they're working in it, and they're walking in it. This is real, friends. Have you got it? Don't dip the flag. Run it up higher than it's ever been. Because those coming in our footsteps need us to give it to them where they can stand up. I'm saying this. I'm going on. I know that. I do that all the time. Can't you just look out in the future, 50, 60, 70 years down the road? What a blessing it would be to see your child or your grandchild or your great-grandchild or your great-great or great-great-great-grandchild holding up the Word of God, standing up in a testimony meeting and saying, I just want to praise Jesus that somebody gave me the truth. That's the book of 3 John. Didn't do a great job expounding it, but it's speaking to me. And I wonder, what is God telling you tonight? For His name's sake, walk in truth, work in truth, watch in truth, and let's give it to the next generation. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, man. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to love you more, to be more like you. Thank you for your goodness. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you in truth? I didn't ask, do you have it? I'm asking, are you in it? Jesus Christ is truth. And if you're in Christ, you're in truth. Are you saved? Have you glad you're saved? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I'm glad I'm saved. God bless you. Amen. Aren't you glad you can raise your hand to that? Aren't you glad somebody gave you the truth concerning that? If there's one tonight that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, won't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again. If you'll repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven, no doubt about it. And maybe tonight you're here and you say, Jody, I'm saved. God's speaking to me. Have you say this, Jody, God's speaking to me about those who influenced me. God's reminding me tonight about those who gave me the truth. and you know who they are, and God is speaking to you about that, would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. You say, God's speaking to me about those who gave me the truth. Yes. The message tonight is one of the greatest things you can do for Christ's sake is stay true to the truth. And those who have influenced you will have the greatest joy when their children walk in truth. How many tonight say, Jody, God's speaking to me in this way? God's speaking to me because I know I'm influencing others. And maybe you're walking in truth. Maybe you're working in it. Maybe you're watching in it. But God's speaking to you tonight. He's got your attention about passing it on with no confusion, no defilement, whether it be your children, your grandchildren, or those that are not even here yet. But if God tarries, your family line will probably continue. And you say, Jody, pray for me. Pray that I'll be like John. Pray that I'll finish strong. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to your heart, whether you just want to come and thank God for how he's influenced you through that person or that person or that person, you're not uplifting man, you're uplifting the Lord. Or maybe you want to come tonight and say, God, keep me walking in the truth. Keep me working in it. Keep me watching in it because I realize that I'm influencing others. As Brother Gary sings, God help us now.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
We're playing through softly. It's time for you. Folks have responded. Why don't you come? Come on, there's time for you. You say, Jody, God's speaking to me. Then come. Come and talk to the Lord about it. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, you come right ahead. Would you do that? Come on.
Though none go with me, still I would follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back.
Playing through softly. This is Mr. and Mrs. Hoff, and they are coming tonight. They want to join our church by statement. They have both been saved. They've both been immersed, scripturally baptized, and they are wanting to become members of this local assembly. We're excited about that. There's a work for you to do, all of us. We need all the help we can get. And what's the pleasure of the church in this, that we accept them on their statement? Larry second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Hope you'll be here on Sunday. Try to invite somebody to be with you. And what we're going to be is we'll be dismissed in prayer. And I hope many of you will come this way and welcome this fine couple into the membership of our church. Okay? Let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to ask Wesley Mullins, if you wouldn't mind, to lift your voice and dismiss us tonight, please. God bless you. Have a good night, folks.